I'm Regina. We're standing here at the Split Point Lighthouse. It's at Aries Inlet on the west coast of Victoria. It's an area where there have been quite a number of shipwrecks. We're part of what's now historically known as the Shipwreck Coast. This lighthouse here is 120 years old. It was opened in 1891. For the first 27 years, there were lighthouse keepers looking after it. And since then, it's been an automated light. So it still operates today as part of a system of lighthouses in Bass Strait. There are 40 of them that all still paid for by the shipping industry to ensure that this very dangerous waterway is protected. We open every day of the week, and there's six or seven of us who are lighthouse tour guides here.
Regina, the lighthouse may look familiar to some people. How would they know it?
You know, its other big claim to fame is that it's the Round the Twist lighthouse. Particularly Poms like to come along here and yell and scream and sing the song, but also children watch it on ABC3. Yeah, this is where the Twist family, of course, had all their adventures. It's a story by Paul Jennings.
Regina, let's take a walk through. How many stairs are in the spiral staircase?
Well, there's 136, so I hope you're feeling fit. We're on the first landing now. We've got a series of old photos here that show some of the shipwreck history and the shipping history in Bass Strait. And we're looking at an old photo that shows an amazing old sailing ship with five sets of sails. And the sailors are climbing up the rigging on precarious angles. And in fact, it relates to this lighthouse in that our first head keeper here, George Barden, was a sailor coming through Bass Strait in the 1880s. And he slipped and fell as he was climbing the rigging, and he smashed into the deck and broke his legs. He was lucky enough to recover and surprisingly decided he didn't want to go back to sailing, so he became a lighthouse keeper instead. We're on the second landing now, and we've got some images here of the men who built the Great Ocean Road. It came 30 years after the lighthouse and provided slightly easier access to the lighthouse for the keepers who were here. It was built in the 1920s, and 3,000 men worked for 14 years to build 138 kilometres of road. They did it mostly by hand. You can see on some of our images here that they're working with picks and shovels. Pretty tough work. It was an employment project that the government created during the Depression time. And these days, 10 million visitors travel along this road every year, so it's really a testament to their hard work. Well, you can't have a lighthouse, of course, unless you've got a good ghost story to go with it. Our story is that one of the keepers had a daughter who got pregnant, and apparently he and she went out in a rowboat out to sea. He came back, she didn't, and the story is that she's the ghost that now inhabits our lighthouse. We always think she's pretty friendly and nice, but she makes a good story. The keepers had a whole range of jobs that they did here. Of course, the most important was looking after the light, but one other task they had was to try to rescue people if there were a shipwreck. And these are the days, of course, when helicopters didn't exist, so what they would do once a month was rocket rescue practice, so they could get their eye in for shooting these rockets out to a shipwreck. The rocket would have a rope attached to it. It would hit the ship. Hopefully someone would tie the rope off at the other end. And then they set up an apparatus on the land. It was a little bit like a flying fox, if you can imagine that. There was a life ring called a breeches buoy that they'd whiz out along the rope. One person could hop in at a time, and then they would haul them back from the shore.
And did they ever have to use it?
Yes, apparently it was quite successful. It was a mobile system, so if they did hear from another lighthouse that a ship was due, they would go looking for it if it didn't turn up about the time they expected. And then invariably they'd set up their system and try to save people. The good thing was that ships would generally crash near the shore, so the distance wasn't too far.
Let's move on to the next landing.
We're now at the top in the lantern room. We've climbed up four landings, 136 steps. And here we've got the very large lantern with what's now an electric light. Originally it was kerosene, then it changed to acetylene gas, and since the 70s we've had electricity. So the light in this lighthouse is a fixed light, it doesn't rotate. You get rotating lights on islands, but all we want here is a wedge of light. This is the lens that does the work, it's quite extraordinary. The idea here is you've actually got two lights happening. You've got a big white light that goes out to where we want the ships to be, where it's a little bit deeper, and then also two red lights that really are just shades on the glass, and they light up the areas that are really shallow and rocky. So as you can imagine, red means danger. We want the ships to be out where the white lights are. Ships either go from east to west or west to east. We're the second closest lighthouse to Melbourne, to the port of Melbourne, so we really direct the ships to or from Melbourne from here. Shipping really started in the 1830s along this coast as Victoria became a colony, bringing settlers to Victoria, and it was from then that lighthouses started being needed. People always ask, you know, why do you need lighthouses when you've got GPS and maps and so on? The answer to that is that ships triangulate their navigation systems. They use all three, beacons, GPS and maps. None of them are perfect, so by comparing the readings that they get, they come up with a particular point that they want to sail on. Particularly at night time, of course, these beacons are really powerful.
And you told me earlier that you can't come in here at night.
No, not unless you want to lose your eyesight. It apparently is very bright in here. It's actually the light of the sun that switches the lantern on and off. There's a little light meter in here. It's about the size of a cigarette box, and that uses electronics to switch the light on in the evening and switches it off again in the morning.
Let's take a look outside.
We're now outside on the balcony, looking out at a really extraordinary view of Bass Strait in the Southern Ocean. A little bit of haze on the horizon, but there are two ships that you can see out there. Generally, the ships are 25, 30 kilometres out now. We certainly don't want them in close to the shore where it's very shallow and rocky.
And we're lucky. It's a beautiful, sunny, still day today.
Spectacular, isn't it?
As you mentioned before, this patch of coast is known as the Shipwreck Coast up towards Portland. When was the last shipwreck nearby?
There have been seven shipwrecks in this area here. The most recent was in 1902. It was a bit of an embarrassing story because the lighthouse was already here. It was the Inverlochy that crashed at Fox Reef, just at Anglesey. Bass Strait is quite unique. It's known as one of the most dangerous waterways on the planet. It's unique in that it's very shallow. We believe 10, 12,000 years ago it was quite dry and was a land bridge across to Tasmania. As the last ice age came to an end, it did fill with water, but it's very shallow compared to the oceans on either side. It's only about 60 metres deep on average. The other problem is that there's a very strong westerly current. We've actually got a marine national park, a small one, a marine sanctuary, just here off the point. It's called Eagle Rock Marine Sanctuary, and it's home to some fairly unique marine species, like the Port Jackson shark and the Weedy Sea Dragon, which is Victoria's marine emblem. So it's really nice to look down from this great height here, from 34 metres. Occasionally we see the odd dolphin swimming by. We had a whale here last Friday, probably heading back to the Antarctic. See the odd seal and penguin. It's a pretty spectacular spot.
Regina, as you said, when the lighthouse was erected, there were very few people around. What was life like back then for the lighthouse keeper and their family?
Well, on the one hand, it was a fairly isolated existence, but because there were three families here, they had each other. They had lots of children, of course, in those days. At one stage, there were 20 children in two houses, so they were able to socialise as a group. There were a couple of farmers here as well, and the town was just kicking off at that point. So I guess a lot of their time was farming, growing some of their own food. It would have been a fairly tough existence for the women, I would imagine. A lot of mouths to feed and a lot of washing to do and all those sorts of things. The keepers had to manage the area
as a large property. They had to look after the light. They would take weather readings. They'd communicate with every ship that went past. And one story I like to tell is how their supplies arrived here. We're standing outside on the balcony and looking across towards Sandy Gully Beach. The 40 lighthouses in Bass Strait would get a visit by a supply boat twice a year. And the boat would lob into the coast as close as it could get. And if conditions were fairly benign, they would row everything into shore. But they're not always like that here. So there were times when all of their food for the next 6 months and their kerosene and every single thing they needed would just be wrapped in canvas. The sailors would just throw it into the water, hopefully with an incoming tide, and then it would wash up onto the beach if they were lucky. The keepers would get a horse and cart and try and go and pick up their food for the next 6 months out of the shallows. The Split Point Lighthouse is a very special place. It's very popular. It's one of 16 lighthouses that you can visit, and I think people are fascinated by lighthouses because they represent a part of our living history. You know, even though it's 120 years old, some people would say they're a bit dated, but they still play a very important modern role in navigation. This one is also a mobile phone tower, so it's got a modern role as well. But I think people are really fascinated by that history, and it reflects too how technology has changed our lives so dramatically. So it's a pretty special spot.
And this one stands out significantly on the Great Ocean Road, where, as you said, thousands of people travel.
Yeah, it's a really big sight on the landscape. It's a very stunning white with a red cap, and you can see it from 15, 20 kilometres away, so it is quite extraordinary. And the people of Aries really see it as their special structure.